It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Watermarks 12 feet high mark a haunting reminder of Saturday night when the worst flooding that this area has ever seen left destruction at every turn. When the water started rising in Denham Springs, it came up fast.
It's eight and a half foot off the ground. We took 10 and a half foot of water. That's what they say. So 16 inches in the house.
On the second floor?
On the second floor.
Danny Sparacinan was out of town during the flood. His neighbor took these pictures, a foot and a half of water in his second floor, soaking everything. Walking in today, this is what's left. The flood of 83 was considered the worst ever. That was nothing compared to this.
We never thought we'd ever see another 83, but this is 6.5 foot over 83.
Between 1 and 2 a.m. Sunday morning, the water rose nearly 4 feet in about an hour. Terry Felder knew he had to do something.
But I didn't think I had even a minute to go back and shut my front door. I just immediately jumped in and took off. Started blowing the horn right there, and I just leaned on the horn all the way. Stopped in front of all the houses, blow the horn so that try to wake them up.
Felder said as he was going down his street, it was like a tidal wave.
It woke people up, but it was too late for them. Most of these people were in their beds, sound asleep.
In Livingston Parish alone, population 130,000, there were 15,000 rescues. An estimated 75% of all homes and businesses in the parish took on water. Buildings upside down, boats flipped, and water still inside people's homes. This is what downtown Denham Springs looked like on Sunday. This is downtown today. Today, homes that are still underwater are hoping the water will recede quickly. People like Danny Sparacian will begin cleaning up, salvaging what he can.
Words can't describe it right now. It's just, we're going to get through it like always.
All right, that was a CNN report of the devastation in southern Louisiana. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. The death toll is up to 13, according to the news this morning. And some are saying that this is, I don't know the metrics, but we're going to talk about it, are worse than Katrina. And yet, for the most part, the news outlets are silent on this, except for AFR, and you just heard CNN. And I know why CNN reported that, because the guests that we're going to talk to at 20 minutes past the hour really poked and prodded and made that report happen. We're going to talk to Rob Gade about an effort in the middle of the tragedy, starting on Saturday night, called the Cajun Navy, where just plain folk got out there, rolled up their sleeves, took their boats, and it was all hands on deck, and were rescuing people left and right. And we're going to hear those stories in mere moments. And let me remind you that Hope Rains is in the business of hands on deck now after the flood, going down and helping to restore homes and do what they can. And if you would like to go down, if you are 18 years old, they will provide lodging and food for you, but you're going to have a lot of work to do. You got to be able to work and be willing to work. You can call 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. Or you can email them at hoperains@8daysofhope.com. That's Hope, R-E-I-G-N-S, Hope Rains. At 8, spelled out, E-I-G-H-T, 8daysofhope.com. Hope Rains at 8daysofhope.com. All right, so if you'd like to help, I hope that you'll make that phone call. All right, we're going to talk about that flooding at 20 minutes past the hour today, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Lots of other news. In fact, here's a big one. Since April, about 1.3 million of you have signed an AFA petition to boycott Target. You remember doing that, agreeing that you would not shop there, and most of you have kept that pledge. And as a result of that, Target released their second quarter earnings report, And we are now learning that Target's stock has dropped dramatically in pre-market trading on Wednesday. For the quarter that ended July 30th, the earnings fell to $680 million, or $1.16 a share, from $753 million, or $1.18 a share, in the same period a year ago. Revenue fell from 7.2% to 16 fell 7.2% to $16.17 billion. And same-store sales declined 1.1%. So we know we're having an effect. We're having a really good effect in a bad way, of course. And the idea is not to put Target out of business. The idea is to get them to reconsider their policy on allowing people of all genders to go to any bathroom, any changing facility, to break down the walls that rightfully divide us, you know, by gender, separation, modesty, privacy for women and girls and boys in bathrooms and changing rooms. And so that is the reason why we have brought pressure to bear on Target to change their policy. AFA has met with them twice, their corporate headquarters, ignored, sort of mockingly derided at every point. And so obviously, you know, it's gratifying to us today to see that the boycott, because you are taking this matter seriously and doing what you can. I always say, you know, do something, figure out what you can do and do it. Well, many of you have done something. And by the way, if you haven't signed up for the boycott, it would be a good time to do that. AFA.net. We have to keep the pressure on Target until they relent. And interestingly enough, on Fox this morning, they're reporting there is a bit. This is the headline from Fox. Target adds private bathrooms to quell transgender debate. Now, that's an interesting headline, and I think it's probably a reach. Target probably wouldn't want that headline because they don't want it to be perceived that they have caved in anyway. But this is what they're doing. They have 1,797 locations that have already single occupancy or unisex bathrooms. So they're going to add it to the 277 stores who don't have it. So that's their big plan. They're going to add unisex bathrooms, single serve. And that's supposed to, you know, I don't know about the changing facilities. How about that? You know, we already know. We know the abuses of that. Without me repeating it again, we know that sexual perverts have already been going into their bathrooms and into their changing rooms and filming young girls. It's mostly girls who are the object of this. And people have been arrested for it. And so the pressure must remain, and we are having an effect. And so join us. Let's, how about 1.3 million more of you? AFA.net, AFA.net. Join us. Sign that pledge. And let's keep the pressure. Let's make Target an example. They are the first company, after North Carolina, you know, adopted their gender separation bathrooms and said, no, our bathrooms will remain separated. Target is the first company that stepped up and, you know, made their policy kind of an in-your-face to North Carolina. So I think we need an in-your-face right back to them. No, this will not do. This is a bridge too far. We will not share bathrooms with other genders. No, thank you. Men don't want to do that, and neither do women. So, no, I don't think so. Not changing facilities and not bathrooms. So if you feel that way, you need to join us. All right, the other big news story of the morning, and I know I'm going to run out of time on this, but here I go. And that is that the Trump campaign, of course, after Donald Trump has made two really very powerful speeches, one on the economy and then one on national security this week, at the same time, he was changing things up in his campaign. And I told you this yesterday morning because it was just being announced, but Steve Bannon, who is a former banker, Goldman Sachs, he runs Breitbart News now. Stephen has he's a former military. He has a resume that's very, very long. You've heard me interview Stephen. I consider the Breitbart News outlet a friend to this show. I use them all the time and know them very well. So Steve Bannon will be the campaign's chief executive. Kellyanne Conway, I also know very well. Kellyanne is a rock rib conservative. I mean, she is a fighter, no question about it. She's going to be the campaign manager. Now, Trump's statement on this is, he said, I have known Steve and Kellyanne both for many years. They are extremely capable, highly qualified people who love to win and know how to win. I believe we're adding some of the best talents in politics with the experience and expertise needed to defeat Hillary Clinton in November and continue to share my message and vision to make America great again. Now, The hint is, the Washington Post is telling the story, and I don't doubt this is the case, but Paul Manafort was sort of trying to moderate Trump's views, and allegedly, according to this report, Trump was not happy about maybe not being fully informed about some of the things that were done. And it is very interesting to me that he should choose Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. I mean, that is red meat conservatism, no question about it. In fact, I need to stop. Let me just play this for a second. Robert Costa, The Washington Post, sort of interjected himself on MSNBC and responded to this choice of Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. Let's listen to what he had to say.
The history of Breitbart is really telling if you want to understand this whole Trump evolution. It started out as an aggregation website closely aligned with the Drudge Report. When Andrew Breitbart passes away, Larry Soloff, Breitbart's friend, and Steve Bannon come in, take over the company. And this is where Trumpism, before Trump, really starts to marinate. Jeff Sessions, the Alabama senator, he's constantly publishing op-eds on it. Sarah Palin's doing interviews with Breitbart. This anti-illegal immigration strain of the right-wing Republican populism starts at Breitbart in 2010, 2011 as part of the Tea Party movement.
So you think Trumpism started at Breitbart, you think?
The beating heart of Trumpism started at Breitbart.
But after Andrew's death, about that.
All right, I'm going to interrupt because I want to move on here. This is what the Hillary Clinton campaign is saying. Robbie Mook is her campaign manager. And so he had a press conference, and they allowed Breitbart to be there, but Breitbart couldn't ask a question. They could only listen. So this is what they said about Breitbart. Mook said it was a so-called news site that trafficked in conspiracy theories and began smearing the journalistic I'm reading this. This is a Breitbart account of this. Began smearing the journalistic company with the usual leftist attacks on Republicans and conservatives. Donald Trump has decided to double down on his most small, nasty, and divisive instincts by turning his campaign over to someone who is best known for running a so-called news site that peddles divisive, at times racist, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. And then Mook cited the Southern Poverty Law Center to condemn Breitbart News. He says people like Bannon and Breitbart have been going after Hillary every day for this entire campaign, and she's still standing strong, so it's nothing new. The Breitbart organization has been known to defend white supremacists like Trump, has refused to apologize to Gold Star father Kazir Khan. Bannon himself said he would keep relentlessly going after Khan. Like Trump himself, Breitbart and Bannon have frequently trafficked in all sorts of deranged conspiracy theories, from touting that Obama was not born in America to claiming that the Obama administration was importing more hating Muslims. So this is Breitbart's response. I can't read all of it, but Larry Solov and editor-in-chief Alex Marlow responded by saying, today the Hillary Clinton campaign has decided to name call and character assassinate Breitbart News Network and its 31-plus million monthly readers. They say that we are anti-Semitic, though our company was founded by Jews, is largely staffed by Jews, and has an entire section, Breitbart Jerusalem. And it goes on to defend. So it's and all of that is true, and Joel Polak, who is Polak, P-O-L-L-A-C-K, who's in California, is one of their writers. Joe is very Jewish. I've known him since he ran for Congress in Chicago. He's an Orthodox Jew. So it's just, this is absurd. And many of those things they say are true. Of course, they go after Khan. And so I go after Khan. They go after not, I don't do, as I'm saying, as do I also go after Khan, because I believe it's the truth. But this shows you, or kind of tells you, where the battle lines are being drawn. And it is really interesting to see that Trump has chosen Kellyanne and Steve Bannon. That really is pretty amazing. We're going to come back to this discussion in the last segment because this is, of course, like a raw nerve for the Republican establishment. And when you hear their response, it'll be interesting, and I want to go back to that. But stay tuned, because we're going to take a little break. We're going to go down to Louisiana and talk to Rob Godet about what's going on down there with the Cajun Navy. It is a great story, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
With today's Faith to Action commentary, here's Janet Porter.
Not to vote is to vote. There are many who are thinking about sitting it out this upcoming election and not voting. But standing on the sidelines isn't an option. God's Voter Guide in Deuteronomy 30:19 tells us to choose life that we and our descendants may live. You might feel good about yourself sitting out this election, but I can assure you, unborn babies won't. Because the main choice before us in the races up and down the ballot is life or death for millions. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. I would add to that, not to vote is to vote.
Visit F2A.org for more commentaries and action steps, along with news, links, and much more for your state. Go to F2A.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. The Air Force wants to know why Major Steve Lewis had a Bible on his desk. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation says the Air Force officer broke the law, accusing him of an egregious civil rights violation. The MRFF is run by Mikey Weinstein, a sort of anti-Christian gadfly. He's representing 33 Air Force personnel who say they were terrified by the major's open Bible. They want Major Lewis punished. But the military tells me it's not clear whether he did anything wrong. It all depends on his intent and whether or not he was proselytizing. I'm still a bit confused over the 33 offended airmen. I mean, if they freak out over the sight of a Bible, what are they going to do when they encounter the enemy? For the record, there's no evidence that any of Mr. Weinstein's clients spontaneously combusted or converted after glancing at the good book. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. We've been talking about the flooding. We talked about it at the top of the show today, and I told you that as of this morning, 13 people have lost their lives in southern Louisiana. 40,000 homes have been damaged, 30,000 people rescued since last Friday, 70,000 have registered with the Federal Disaster Assistance. Most of them do not have flood insurance. It's a nightmare down there, and some are saying it's as bad as Katrina. I don't have a measurement for that, but my next guest might have some idea about it. Rob Godet is from Louisiana, and he has some interesting stories to tell, and as he has said, he is right in the middle of rescuing people even as we speak, and he's taking some time to just stop and tell us a little bit about what's happening. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Hey there. Thank you for having me on.
So, Rob, what are you doing right now? What's going on?
Well, literally right now, I have a girl, Elena Hebert, who's one of the first people. I'm with a group called the Cajun Navy. I wanted to mention that.
You're with what? Public? We didn't hear what you said. You were with what?
I'm with, our group is called the Cajun Navy. Basically, it consists of just citizens getting together to get involved and help rescue our fellow neighbors and bring them water and food. And we're actually doing logistical stuff on the ground now, and we're working with authorities. And we just mobilized in a grassroots way off of Facebook and using a couple of apps. We've built a dispatch system. We have GPS tracking on all of our people that are on the ground. We actually have dispatchers keeping people in the field abreast with what's going on. We literally get requests off of our Facebook page, which is the Cajun Navy. It's a Facebook group called the Cajun Navy. And we take those requests and we process them. Number one, we make sure that the person requesting it actually went through the proper authorities first. The authorities are overwhelmed. This is far more than anybody can imagine. The authorities have been overwhelmed. And so people fall through the cracks. We're going after the people that really kind of fall through the cracks. And so we make sure that they've done everything in the proper way to go through the proper channels first.
Yeah, Rob, let me repeat. It is the Cajun Navy, which I certainly mentioned in the first segment, but it's the Cajun Navy. It's a great story, actually. You've got people just throwing in not only boats, but everything they have, food, coming to the rescue, neighbors helping neighbors. Let me repeat that the Facebook page is the Cajun Navy. That's all. Just look for the Cajun Navy on Facebook, and you will see the interactions. And give us an example of the kind of people that you've been helping, Rob.
You know, where I sit, I don't really see the people that are being helped so much. I see the helpers. I am more on kind of logistical support. I just make sure mountains get moved out of the way of people that are trying to get things done. So I can tell you about the Cajun Navy people. And I was kind of mentioning this when you first came on. One of our girls, who was one of the first people to get involved in this, is still up. She hadn't slept since 5 a.m. yesterday. And I was kind of just admonishing her. She needs to go to bed. She's been at it for now 28 hours straight, and she just won't stop. And she won't stop because the real heroes here, I guess, are the boaters. We call them the Cajun Navy captains. These guys are out till 1, 2, 3 a.m. In water, bringing people supplies that decided to stay back. So, you know, for instance, night before last, we had a couple of dramatic things. We had actually a pregnant woman who, you know, they don't have to evacuate. They can stay home, and she chose to stay home, but she didn't have any supplies, and she made a post on Facebook, or somebody made a post on her behalf, and they posted her address, and we vetted it, made sure that she went through all the proper channels, and then we sent a person out there, and this was at about 11:30 p.m., and they brought her water, they brought her food, they brought her various supplies, and checked on her, basically. On the way out there, they happened to go, and this isn't easy. They happened to end up at the wrong address. I think they ended up maybe at one of her neighbors, and they knocked on the wrong door. Well, somebody was there as well, and that person came out with a weapon and wasn't too happy. So these guys, I will tell you, I mean, it's kind of to a degree, it's the Wild West, but mostly there's been no problems, but they're, you know.
Well, you know, Rob, I was just reading this morning, they have been some looters, and so people have, you know, they are nervous, and I'm sure they know that law enforcement can't get to them quickly, something should happen. But the people you're describing, like the pregnant woman, help us understand, is part of her house flooded? Is she isolated? Her house is dry, but she's isolated by the water surrounding her. Why can't she get out?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. You know, it's not simply flat land. There are peaks and valleys. There's high areas, and where there are high areas, people a lot of times didn't leave, but they're on little islands out there, and you know, there's a lot of need from the people that decided to stay behind, and so we're definitely helping that. We have actively been doing rescues, and that's a big part of it. In fact, one of our guys has rescued. He came out on Monday, and we kind of were talking to him, and he had pulled out 1,000 people by himself in one day.
Oh my gosh!
From homes, yeah. So,
the initial stages, of course, you're saving lives literally on the spot with these boats and things. And now, as I think I'm hearing you say, it's saving lives in a different way by taking supplies to people that are stranded.
Yeah. Exactly.
Rob, are you hearing any metrics about comparisons with this flooding and Katrina?
I haven't heard comparison with this and Katrina from what you would think. What I am hearing and I'm really tired. I've slept maybe 8 hours in the last 3 days. So I'm hearing from people that were affected by Katrina that loaded up their boat and came and helped us and are doing dispatch and are, volunteering. And so they're paying back. Because, the people that are being affected now were the first ones to show up at Katrina. So that now we're getting paid back by the Katrina family. Yeah. So it's quite a question. That's the story there.
Rob, I know, we heard nothing but Katrina for weeks on the news. Honestly, it was just a constant deluge. In this case, we're hardly hearing anything. I played a CNN report at the top of the show today that I was told that you sort of made that happen because our people that you knew made that happen because people are just not, news outlets are not reporting on this. Now, I don't know if you know about that because you're busy helping people, but what do you know about that?
I don't know exactly why. It's kind of, I guess it's between the news media and God to figure that out. I will tell you that we need it. We need as much coverage as we can get because, the reporting on this event needs to be relevant to the size of the event so that whenever it comes time for Americans across the country to mobilize and help, and for the federal government to mobilize and help. People need to understand the true impact. I mean, you have to understand the scope of the problem in order to bring the proper solution. And if people don't understand the scope of it, we're not gonna recover as quickly as frankly these people really deserve, and as any American deserves.
Yeah. In regard to the Cajun Navy, I know you guys are all volunteers. There is that dramatic video. I'm not sure everyone's seen it. It's been out for a couple of days. We're going to put it on our Facebook page of a volunteer. He's American, but Asian descent. And a woman has gone off into the water in a convertible and it's disappearing. And they're trying to break the back window, the glass, can't break it. And finally, this young guy jumps into the water and ends up ripping up the top of the convertible, pulls the woman out. And then she starts, saying, "My dog, my dog." And he actually rescues her dog, too. Is that the kind of thing that you're doing, Rob, or were doing, at least in the initial stages of the flood?
It is. And the boat captains, the Cajun Navy captains, have story after story like that. And we've actually asked them to start sharing those stories with friends and family. They're in a separate group, actually on Facebook, where we're having them post those types of stories, photos, and videos. Those experiences are countless. I've talked to dive teams who have recovered bodies from cars like that. Very fortunately, I don't know that particular gentleman was a member of the Cajun Navy. He may have been, but the Cajun Navy would have been one of those guys jumping into that water and risking their life to save, that woman and her dog. Interestingly enough, one of our Cajun Navy guys actually came across that car just yesterday, and the water's actually receded. The car was sitting in the ditch. Just like it had run off the road, and now it's just sitting, with the tail end poking up out of the ditch, and it's totally dry where it is.
It's okay. Let me just say, Cajun Navy, and if you are in, many of you are in southern Louisiana, you are in our listening area, and if you have the wherewithal to help others, that's a great place to go to help them right now. We're doing another effort, Rob, also through AFA. We're sending in volunteers to help rebuild. Hope Reigns. And let me just say if you want to do that, it's 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. If you're 18 and above and you can do some good work, they need your help. This effort is for those of you that live down there and can pitch in right now to rescue people, and it's the Cajun Navy. That's the Facebook page. And Rob, is last thing, because I know you got to go, is Louisiana your home?
Yeah, Louisiana is my home. I've lived up and down Interstate 10 my whole life. I was born in Lake Charles. I went to high school in Lafayette, and I live in Baton Rouge now. I lived in Shreveport, actually, for 13 years in between. So I'm from Louisiana. My family's from here. It's one of those places that, you have to come to experience and see what the people are like to really understand it.
Rob, you mentioned Highway 10, and that reminds me, I have been told that the flooding on the interstate was so bad, and that's something, that's kind of an untold story, too. Could you just say a word about that, then I'm going to let you go?
Yeah, in fact, right now, Interstate 10 is flooding again. We had some pretty heavy rains yesterday afternoon and last night that kind of canvassed some of the areas that were already hit, and the saturated ground just couldn't take it, and I'm back with something I woke up to listening to on the dispatches that our guys are kind of sometimes the first ones to see where new flooding is happening. I had an EMS team from one of the cities that is affected listening to our network, and they messaged me and said, hey, we're hearing that water is rising in this area. Can you find out if that's true? Because we want to position, first responders in that area. So one of the untold stories here, I don't know if it's an untold story, one of the narratives here, I guess, is how closely Cajun Navy guys on the ground and in dispatch are working with authorities. On Monday, we kind of were learning how to do this. We put guys right on the roads and tried to send them into waters, and they couldn't get past authorities. And so we regrouped on Monday and said, how do we have an impact? And we did a little research and found that the authorities gave us a channel. They said, work with us. We'll put a deputy with you and put him in your boat, and you guys will get where you need to go. Well, we found out where their staging area was. We didn't ask permission. We just showed up with probably 60 boats lined up in a row waiting to be vetted by authorities. They did exactly that. They put deputies with our boat, and Tuesday was a totally different story. We had so many boats. I don't even know how many captains we had out there doing rescue, but it's because we went through the right channels, and I told the captains what they needed to do is bring a box of donuts and some coffee and make a friend with a deputy, and that's what they did.
Whatever it takes.
It's a learning process, and we're trying to make it better, and that's all we're trying to do. And nobody's asking for anything. We haven't raised money. We're not even an official organization. We haven't formed anything. We have no finances. We're just doing.
No. Well, Rob, this is American heroism. It's a great story, and I know it's not so great when you're in the middle of it, but it is really something. It reminds me of Dunkirk, when the civilians, boaters in England formed together to form this civilian cotillion, and they went out and rescued British soldiers. It was it's an amazing story, and this is one also. It's the Cajun Navy on Facebook, and Rob Godet is right in the middle of all of it. So, Rob, stay safe. God bless and keep you safe and give you energy. Get some sleep, and hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sandy, for having me on.
Okay, my pleasure. All right. Let me just also say in closing that, at least for this discussion, that our own Tony Perkins, the host of Washington Watch, the president of Family Research Council, had to be rescued with his wife and five children from their home by canoe. And they are now living in like a trailer in front of their house. Their like camper did not get destroyed, so it's dry, and the whole family is staying in that camper, and their home will be months, in restoring, no question about it. So that's Tony Perkins, and by the way, he pastors a church there. He's an interim pastor. He said 80% of his church members have been affected by this flood. So it just gives you an idea of how serious this is and how we need to pray and how we need to help if we can. The phone number for Hope Rains is 662-255-7565. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Are you struggling to overcome deep-seated rejection? On the next Focus on the Family, Lisa Turkhurst shares very transparently about her emotionally absent father, an unwanted pregnancy, and learning to find her identity in Christ. It's an encouraging program. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Saturday afternoon at 5 Central. And don't miss the weekday edition of Focus on the Family at 5 in the morning Central Time on AFR Talk.
The AFA Cultural Institute, a video library of resources dealing with the discussions of our day.
Marriage and family, finances, how we know that the text of the Bible is actually what was originally written. The AFA Cultural Institute takes all of these topics and puts them in the hands of people to be able to equip them.
Start your library of the AFA Cultural Institute, now available for purchase as downloads or DVDs at afastore.net.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Obama's wrecking operation, aimed at diminishing our country, emboldening its enemies, and undermining its friends, is moving inexorably forward on a front unknown to most Americans, yet likely to affect many of them personally. Team Obama is determined to end America's effective control over internet domain names by relinquishing to the likes of Russia, China, and Iran the management of ICANN, a bureaucratic mechanism that assigns what amount to website addresses. U.S. government agencies, other users, and internet freedom are sure to suffer. Just one example. If hostile powers can begin assigning to themselves or their friends America's official government and military .gov and .mil domain names, at a minimum, confusion will ensue. More likely, there will be compromises of national security. It's currently against the law to surrender ICANN. Congress must not allow the president to betray his duty again. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You have something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out. Give me a knife.
Watch your eyes.
Watch
your eyes.
Go.
Breaking the window.
I flip the top when I drown.
Go.
Oh my God, I'm drowning.
We're coming. You're coming. I'm going to break this window. We're breaking the window. Do you have a knife? You do that. Tell me if you have a knife. I'll find it.
Oh, no.
Give a dog.
Your dog.
Give a dog. Get that down. Down. I'll go down.
Hold on. I can't get the dog.
Zach.
Here. Here. Maybe she's gone.
No, she bit Debbie. Debbie, have you?
I got your dog.
Oh.
Oh,
oh
you.
Swim to the boat. Swim to the boat.
All right, so that was that's the dramatic sound of that dramatic video of the rescue of the woman whose car went into the waters, and this young guy who finally ends up jumping in and pulling her free, and then her dog. So it's amazing, and we're going to put that's in Louisiana, of course, after the flood, not long after the flooding came in. So if you haven't seen it, it's really worth it. Go on our Facebook page, and you'll get to see that. It's very, very moving. It's moving to see people exercise such great character to save other people. It's just, it really is. I think it's really something that demonstrates the heart of God, the preciousness of life. It is part of American culture because of our Judeo-Christian heritage, because we pretty much have believed that life is precious, life is sacred. Not every culture feels that way. We feel that way. Because it's wired in us through our parents, our grandparents, that we save lives. We save lives. We sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others. And so it really is an amazing thing. And by the way, if you'd like to go down and help in Louisiana, Hope Rains, we would love your help. You have to be 18. And all you have to do is go a call, 662-255-7565. If you think you can get away, if you're 18 years old, they will put you up, they'll feed you, but you have to be willing and able to do some work. 662-255-7565. All right, well, speaking of water and heroism, let's listen to this report.
What an interesting story. I think we're still trying to figure out, Jenna. You know, we always say that the cover-up is worse than the crime. What if the cover-up is the crime itself and no crime actually took place? Brazilian authorities are wondering whether or not Ryan Lochte and three U.S. swimming teammates were actually robbed, as they claimed early Sunday morning at gunpoint. Initially, Lochte told the NBC's The Today Show on Sunday that there were several men who played a part in this role, acting as police. But the authorities in Brazil say that Lochte claimed that there was only one man, that one of his teammates said that there were multiple men involved. So you ask, who has more to lose here? Why would swimmers create a story that says, oh, we were robbed if there was nothing to gain from it? Or would you believe the Brazilian government and the authorities, which have been playing defense since the Olympics began, everything from green pools and sewage to muggings and shootings and projectiles shot through the media window buses? But then you also have to wonder, is it possible that the American swimmers, as Ryan Lochte said, they did not initially tell the U.S. Olympic Committee they were afraid they would get in trouble. There is a curfew based on honor. They were out late Sunday. Maybe they figured this was just a little white lie that they could tell and it wouldn't amount to much. But the Brazilian authorities maybe say, hey, you're not throwing us under the bus. So they want Lochte's passport and Fagan as well.
All right, so what's happened since then? Again, these are American swimmers, champion swimmers at the Olympic Games in Rio. Jack Conger and Gunnar Bince were on their way back to the United States, and Brazilian authorities took them off the plane because they are part of this story that there was a robbery and they were robbed. And Ryan Lochte, who is the chief, I guess, teller of the story, because we don't really know what the facts are yet, so I need to be careful. Ryan Lochte is the one that got away. He's the one that was actually telling the story. And a report this morning from the New York Daily News is he was spotted in North Carolina with his Playboy Playmate girlfriend as his two teammates are arrested. If he's lying, you know, isn't that the way it goes? That sometimes the chief liar gets his friends in trouble, and then they're the ones that get caught behind. Now, that might not be true. Maybe it's all true. Let's just assume maybe it's all true. But I did think this. You know, when I was younger, anybody remember a day when athletes not only had to be very talented, work hard, gifted at their sport, but they had to, let's see, have character. They had to have good grades. They had to not be guys who got drunk on a regular basis. They had to obey the rules, or they got kicked off the team. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, whatever sport it is now, we have just totally thrown that aside, from football to baseball to basketball, and now swimming, assuming then Ryan Lochte spun a tail, and we'll find out. if he did or if he did not. Because the Brazilian authorities are determining, you can imagine, you know, their country's been disparaged routinely, regularly, every day on the news here, how bad things are in Rio. So this is maybe a bridge too far for them. So we'll see what happens with that. Earlier, I was talking to you about the big decision of the Trump campaign to rearrange the players in their campaign and add two more players, Kellyanne Conway to be the campaign manager and Steve Bannon to be the chief executive officer. Chief executive, anyway, over the campaign. And Steve Bannon, of course, is the person here in D.C. who runs the Breitbart News outlet. And Kellyanne Conway is a pollster. She's been around for years. And I will repeat that Kellyanne is just a red meat conservative. She's smart, smart, smart. And she's she and I have a lot in common, let's just say, on the issues. No question about it. I like Kellyanne, and the fact that he hired her is pretty amazing to me. Trump says he's known Kellyanne and Steve Bannon for years. And it's amazing because of what it says about his campaign. The things that the Clinton administration is citing about Breitbart, they're calling them a so-called news site. Of course, the so-called news site has 31 plus million monthly readers. There was a whole comparison of different media outlets and their reach just, what, I think 2-3 weeks ago that I shared with you, and Breitbart's just off the charts in terms of the number of readers and the reach that it has. That doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean everything they say. You know, they are opinionated. They have opinions. And in fact, during the presidential primary, there's no question that they favored Trump. No question. And that was a rub for some of us. You know, Drudge favored Trump, too. I mean, the websites, The Blaze hated Trump, you know, because that's Glenn Beck's outlet. And by the way, you have to know, too, that this is the way it is. I don't know. It's human nature. Among conservative media outlets, there's a lot of competition, sometimes bad feeling. And so between Breitbart and The Blaze, there is that. So they're saying what they're saying today, too, in regard to Steve Bannon. But the Clinton campaign is saying some interesting things. I want to go back and read to you what Robbie Mook said in a press conference call. He says, Donald Trump has decided to double down on his most small, nasty, and divisive instincts by turning his campaign over to someone who is best known for running a so-called news site that peddles divisive, at times racist, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. And, of course, that is silly because much of Andrew Breitbart was Jewish. And as I said before, many of the writers for Breitbart are also Jewish, including Joel Pollack. So that's a little silly, but, and Mook is, of course, drawing his information from the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has named the American Family Association as a hate group. So you see where this is going. So it's one thing for, Clinton's campaign to, you know, disparage Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway, but it's very interesting how this is affecting the establishment Republicans, because they are continuing to try to undermine and destroy Donald Trump's candidacy in every way they can. In fact, let me tell you this story before we listen to this clip. There's a speechwriter. Now, he's described by The Blaze as a lifelong Republican. His name is Richard Cross. He's from Maryland. He's been involved in Republican politics in Maryland with Bob Ehrlich for a long time. And he said that the final straw for him in Donald Trump was his proposed ban on Muslim immigration. But Richard Cross, ironically, was the guy that wrote Patricia Smith's speech at the Republican convention. Patricia, the mother of Sean Smith, who was killed in Benghazi. Remember her speech? She said that she blamed Hillary Clinton personally for the death of her son. Well, it's Richard Cross who wrote that. So he obviously knows. He's the one that wrote the speech. He's talked to Patricia. He knows what Hillary Clinton's involvement in Benghazi was, and how she neglected to do what she heard her service. She neglected her duty, and even to send help to those guys that were, and Sean in the early stages probably could not have been saved, nor the ambassador. Well, they could have been if Hillary had listened to the ambassador's pleas for security at the annex months and months before, the repeated requests that were ignored. So that's absolutely true. But the second part is the three, Ty Woods and the other two, who were killed on the roof of the annex, and no help was ever sent. Hillary Clinton went to bed. The president, we don't know where. Even now, we don't know where he was. Just gone. So Richard Cross writes this piece for Patricia Smith, and yet this is what he's saying. He wrote in a Baltimore Sun editorial President Eisenhower, he said, would never have proposed banning Muslims from America, nor would President Nixon, nor would President Reagan. Donald Trump has betrayed and perverted their legacies. Consequently, I no longer recognize my party. Well, you know what? That's not actually what he just wrote is absolutely abjectly not true in this regard. When Reagan was president, and when before that, when communism began to be it was right after World War II, communists were barred. Known communists, avowed communists, were not allowed to immigrate to this country. And the fight against radical Islam is very much like that, very much like that. National security experts will tell you there is a great link between the subversion. In fact, there is a direct correlation between the operatives of communism and the radical Islam, and also the stealth Islamists, like the Muslim Brotherhood. So that's just not true. But then he's going on to say, he says that Hillary Clinton is the only choice in 2016. So in spite of what he knows about what she did in Benghazi, because Donald Trump has said he wants to vet and ban Muslim immigration, at least stop it for a while, he can no longer vote for him, and that is the high ground. Go figure. Well, the Republican establishment is apoplectic about Donald Trump, and they are doing everything they can to damage him. Bill Kristol, who I like, Bill, who I've interviewed many times, hates Trump, and this is what he had to say about this new choice yesterday.
Why would you bring Breitbart in to run a campaign, and you've been the target of Breitbart?
I have.
You actually knew Andrew he was alive, and now it's changed, right?
I knew Andrew well, and he was a troublemaker, but he was a good-hearted person who would not have... I mean, I hate the fact that it's called Breitbart News. I honestly think if they change the name and call it, you know, right-wing, intolerant, mean-spirited news, that would be fine. But that wasn't...
Think about how hard it would be to make a logo.
That wasn't Andrew, and so I really... First of all, it's unfortunate it happens in life, I suppose, but it's unfortunate that we're all sitting on talking about Breitbart. It's a disservice to Andrew's memory. But secondly, Mr. Bannon has run this website. I guess it's been pretty successful from a business point of view, but it's someone to go look at all the things they've said. I mean, we were joking about Renegade earlier, and I think it's appropriate to joke about it. I embrace that term, but that's not what Breitbart said about me 3 months ago. It was Renegade Jew. And a lot of people, I'm not a big, you know, oh, it's terrible anti-Semitism kind of guy, but that's a little creepy. And the charge was that why was I a renegade Jew? Because I didn't support Donald Trump. Really?
Okay, so that's Bill Kristol. I don't know the context of that particular remark, but I do know that Breitbart News has gone after the establishment Republicans with gloves off. And they've probably done as much, have been as effective as anyone in criticizing Paul Ryan, criticizing Mitch McConnell, the likes of Bill Kristol, the Mitt Romneys of the world, because they are red meat conservatives. And so now it's interesting to me that Steve Bannon is now the head of Donald Trump's campaign and Kellyanne Conway. I just think that's interesting. All right. Well, so that's the end of this day. I thank you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be opening the phone lines and chatting. There'll be lots to talk about. And so we'll do that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.